love this podcast? Support us by leaving us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Hit the link in the episode description to support us now. Thanks for listening and enjoy.
Hey, Nicole and Rolando, you ever have a frenemy in your life? Someone that you constantly have this like back and forth with, always battling, always trying to get one-ups. But deep down inside, it's like this connection that they always have to be in your life for some reason.
Why, yes, Eddie, I do. And I play Dungeons and Dragons with them. But no, Eddie, why do you? What about you, Nicole? Wait, do you, Nicole? Do you have a frenemy?
I guess I do. More so back and forth with our quips and whatnot. See who can, you know, burn each other harder and quicker and funnier.
But why do you ask, Eddie?
Because we're going to be talking about today about the ultimate frenemy friendship here. Tom and Jerry.
That's right. We're talking about the animated mouse, not Mickey, and the cat, Tom.
Not
cat.
Felix.
No one cares about Felix, Nicole. Come on.
You made that a trivia question, and I got that right, so I care about Felix.
This is true.
All right, I'm Nicole.
And I'm Rolando.
And this is Remakes, Reboots, and Revivals.
An original podcast
about unoriginality. Man, I am so not looking forward to discussing this one. But, you know, it has to be done. So,
no. Does it? It didn't have to.
I mean,
we are the hosts of this podcast. We choose. We choose what gets made into an episode just because
this is true. We decided that we really wanted to cover this one because Tom and Jerry, we all kind of grew up watching this. We all are familiar with this cat and mouse duo to an extent. And, you know, how bad could the movie be? ..
It was so bad.
Spoilers.
But, you know, before we get to that, actually, you know, I love the Looney Tunes, and I'm more of like a Looney Tunes kind of girl compared to like Hanna-Barbera, because I don't know if you know, Tom and Jerry is Hanna-Barbera property.
Which that still boggles the mind, because I don't remember like seeing Tom and Jerry interact with like the Flintstones or...
Yeah.
Anybody.
Well, I wasn't too big in Tom and Jerry, so I never really saw any crossovers or anything. But I will say that this is one of their earliest properties. This was as early as 1940. And when we think of Hanna-Barbera, I think we think more of like their 60s, 70s stuff.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I guess I don't associate Tom and Jerry with Hanna-Barbera. So
yeah.
I guess
no, you true. Think Scooby-Doo. You think Flintstones and stuff.
The Flintstones.
Yeah, and those were later on. So, but also, I will say that Hanna-Barbera left Tom and Jerry after some point, and other people kind of like continued it on. So that's also probably why we don't think of them like that. But that's,
wait, so they're not associated with Hanna-Barbera anymore?
They kind of are. They were created by them, but I think they were sold off.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So, MGM bought them, and then they revived them. And at some point, you got Chuck Jones involved, who is known for Looney Tunes and stuff. So I guess I just jumped into history. I didn't realize that I'm in history right now. But yeah.
Who knew there was a history to Tom and Jerry?
Yeah, well, they've been around. I mean, you know, I don't know if you know this, but like Gene Kelly did a dance with Jerry the Mouse in this really great 1945 musical called Anchors Away. And then they
kind of do know
you
this,
do know that.
Yes.
And then they like
I do know this.
Revived that in Family Guy. So Gene Kelly danced with Stewie instead.
Right, we're going to try to get that link and add it to the show notes.
Oh, it's fantastic. And it was like really person interacting with an animated character. That was like not something that was done regularly in the early 40s. That's when it started happening. Stuff.
Spoiler alert to what happens in 2020.
80 years later, they're still doing it. So there's been, you know, just a bunch of revivals of them. A bunch of different people have gotten their hand on it. And they had a bunch of TV movies and theatrical movies. And we're covering today the new 2021 film.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, I think, part of this new Hanna-Barbera universe that they're trying to do, or at least shared universe, even though... There's nothing in the film that calls to it, so I don't know.
I don't think, I can't imagine. I mean, the only other character, did you see there was one cameo from another Hanna-Barbera cartoon.
Which one?
It was a droopy dog.
Oh my gosh, I must have been
droopy dog,
at
yeah, droopy dog was
work.
In the, droopy dog was in the pound.
Oh, he droopy was, dog was in the pound.
He was dressed as Hannibal Lecter.
Ah, interesting.
He was the one who greets up, is like, hello, guy. But he's, you know, I think they dress him up like that because, like, you know, Droopy Dog is so depressive that, like, he'll just make these poor dogs kill themselves.
I totally missed that, unfortunately. I love Droopy Dog, so I'm kind of sad.
Why?
I don't know. Droopy
now
Dog?
In retrospect, I'm thinking it's just like Hanna-Barbera just has the Flintstones and Scooby-Doo, and that's it. That's all it should be.
And the Jetsons and Yogi Bear.
The Jetsons only lasted like 2 seasons. Like, no one really cares about the Jetsons as much as they think they do.
I mean, yeah, I don't watch the Jetsons.
Yogi Bear is another fucking abomination from Hanna-Barbera.
I mean, yeah. Well, I never thought I cared for it, but after we did our Scooby-Doo episode, I actually realized how much I enjoyed Scooby-Doo, and I do think that that is their best effort by far.
Flintstones, I think, is Hanna-Barbera's best work.
Yeah, but that's just the Honeymooners just put in, like, you know, caveman era.
Have you not seen Viva Rock Vegas?
I don't remember.
I don't. What? Viva Rock Vegas? It's the sequel to the Flintstones movie? But yeah, it was a prequel?
I know. Somehow.
And it starred one of the Baldwins?
Escaped my
memory. Oh my God. Viva Rock Vegas is one of the greatest movies of all time.
Captain Planet was Hanna-Barbera?
Yeah, and also Wacky Races.
Wacky Races was another.
The Fantastic Four cartoon.
No, look at that. Okay. All right. So Hanna-Barbera has some work. Well, we're supposed to be focusing on the cat and mouse game.
Cat and mouse, Tom and Jerry. I mean, these guys have staying power. You know, Tom and Jerry is still pretty much, and at least when we were growing up, it was still playing in syndication. I don't know if it currently is, but, you know, they're available on Boomerang, and now they're available on HBO Max.
Because HBO is owned by Warner Brothers, that owns Turner, and Turner owns Boomerang.
Yeah. Yeah, so
now you know, guys.
Tom and Jerry, everybody knows it. I actually prefer their Simpsons counterparts, Itchy and Scratchy.
Oh, Itchy and Scratchy? Yeah.
I love Itchy and Scratchy. But yeah, I think everyone's grown up on Tom and Jerry. I mean, what can you say about Tom and Jerry? It's a cat and a mouse. They have your classic cat and mouse relationship. And the cute thing about it is that they give Jerry, who's the mouse, the upper hand. So usually there's just a lot of violence and slapstick going on, and they don't talk. It's literally just that, their relationship. Mm-hmm. And it's usually Tom who gets the shit under the stick.
Right.
And, you know, there's not much else that goes on. I mean, it's really simple. They're very short cartoons that are just really about that dynamic.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep.
Violence, yeah. Rampant. Yeah, which is why the itchy... and Scratchy, I love when they just bring it to excessive violence.
Now, I have a question, and I don't know if you know this, but was Tom and Jerry ultra violent to the point that, like, we can't see some of the original episodes anymore because they were just taken off syndication?
I don't think so, no.
No? I think, is that just a vicious rumor?
I think so. To me, at least, there is no truth in that. I have not found that in my research.
Okay.
But I just think that also, you know, when you think about the time period and where they came out in 1940, you know, it was perhaps maybe a little too violent for the time period.
Oh, I thought it was going to be acceptable that time period. It's just like, you know.
Well, you know.
I feel like, because TV was okay with us beating wives.
This is
like
true.
The Honeymooners.
This is true. Yeah.
so why wouldn't they be okay with the cat and mouse killing each other?
good question. You know, at the end of the day, you know, I will say that this movie gave me such a bad taste in my mouth that I probably didn't do as much research as I should have. So that's actually something I want to look into and get back to you on that. But I haven't found anything like that.
Okay.
But yeah, they were really popular. They're still kind of popular. I mean, what is there to say? They have other characters that come in sometimes. Like there's
Spike.
A dog, Spike.
Spike the dog.
Mm-hmm.
Then there are the other alley cats that Tom hangs out with occasionally.
Occasionally. There's Toodles Galore. I feel like... He has a crush on her. Ooh. And
is that the white cat? I know that she shows up every now and then. I didn't know that she had a name.
Yes. Yes. Her name is Toodles Galore. And then there's another mouse who he's like a small gray mouse called Nibbles that sometimes appears.
Right. Isn't he supposed to be like super cute?
Yes.
That's like his shtick. Yeah. He's like super adorable.
Yeah, and he's more so like carefree, and he usually puts himself right in danger's way. And
And Jerry usually is either like protecting him or annoyed by him.
Is Nibbles Jerry's nephew?
I think so.
Yeah, at least he's like taken in under Jerry's wing because I think he's also an orphan, so he has like no one to look after him.
I mean, they're mice.
So
I can't like usually mice. are with the mom for like a week and then they run off and become mice.
This is true. Sometimes mice even eat their young. Yeah, but, you know, true. They are so also cartoons.
He, so. Lucky to be alive, in my opinion.
Well, you know, at the end of the day, they actually care more to humanize, in quotation marks, I think, Jerry more than they would Tom. They kind of make Tom, you know, like he's kind of like the butt of a joke and someone you can like laugh at. Like in the way he kind of like falls all over himself with Toodles and the way he cowards in fear over Spike. Whereas like Jerry is given the role of like the nurturer to Nibbles. So when they start expanding who they are as characters, I think they give that more to Jerry. You know, there's obviously a favoritism to Jerry because Jerry's kind of like representative of the American underdog. And, you know, like all these feelings that people love to see in representation of media where it's just like someone who is, you know, shown as one thing. And then like, I will come and I will surprise you and I'm stronger than you think I am. You know, the underdog, that whole thing, I think Jerry.
Oh my God, you're really reading.
I really am.
Tom
and
Jerry here.
But I mean, that's what people like about it, right? It's not just like a cat who is like beating on someone who's smaller than him, and like he can easily like no, like this cat is the mouse is smarter than the cat and is always able to like get one up on the cat, and people like kind of love that dynamic because you don't expect that from a mouse, right?
But the mouse is the asshole.
Well, yeah, he's the asshole, but at the end of the
day,
too.
I mean, because, like, Tom is just, like, Tom is living in, like, usually Tom is just living in his home, a cat. He's, you know, he's a house cat, carefree, and then here comes fucking Jerry fucking shit up by stealing some fucking cheese, usually cheese.
Well, you know, food. In the early, yes, it's usually the cheese. In the early episodes, you know, Tom is a kind of like a pampered cat, so they also do portray him as not just, like, this innocent cat who Jerry picks on. Like there's actually one, you know, he's like a very comfortable life, and then two, he's a cat who's like out to, he sees a mouse, chain of command, you know, dog, cat, mouse, so he's just gonna like go after him. And Jerry just says no, I'm not gonna take that. I don't know, it's just, you know, it's interesting because this dynamic has just such staying power, and you kind of see it in other cartoons. And, you know, what is it about this dynamic that people respond to? And if you think about it in that way, I would say that maybe that's what Jerry is, you know, representative. But that's also interesting. Looking for.
Here's an interesting factoid. Apparently, the Tom and Jerry cartoons carry a racial prejudice warning in some countries.
Oh, yeah?
Do you see any racism in Tom and Jerry?
I did not catch any of those episodes. Now, are there examples?
My gosh. Of course. How could I forget? They did have a Mammy character. Okay. And there's a short called Mammy Two Shoes.
Ah, yes.
There we go. So now we know. Why am I getting a trigger warning?
Mammy Two Shoes already just sounds terrible.
Let me see. Mammy Two Shoes is a fictional character in MGM's Tom and Jerry cartoons. MGM, interesting. It's not categorized as Hanna-Barbera. She's a heavyset, middle-aged African-American housemaid who takes care of the house in which Tom and Jerry reside. She would scold and attack Tom whenever she believed he was misbehaving. And Jerry would usually sometimes be the cause of Tom's trouble. I actually remember her. It's so funny because Disney had a similar character who would yell at Pluto. She appeared in 19 cartoons.
Wow.
So 19 cartoons. And yeah, she was she's a stereotype, basically. So yeah. There we go. Now we know. Tom and Jerry, not such clean, wholesome fun.
And honestly, I think anyone who kind of revisits things from that time period at this point, unfortunately, should kind of expect that. So
I'm going to provide a link for you guys on our show notes.
Yeah. You know, it's quite obvious that Rolando and I didn't really do our research for this one, but
you know why? Because it's Tom and Jerry.
What did you grow up?
Like, did you used to grow up watching Tom and Jerry?
Kind of. I mean, I grew up watching Cartoon Network. So I watched things like the Looney Tunes, and I did see things. Whenever the Hanna-Barbera character cartoons came on, I kind of just changed the channel. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I remember Tom and Jerry. Like, everyone knows that relationship between the two of them.
So I actually grew up with Tom and Jerry kids. Like, that's what I have distinct recollection of. And Tom and Jerry Kids was like that late 80s, early 90s, making these old cartoons like into children. So Muppet Babies comes to mind.
Yep.
That's the only one that comes to mind, but I know there's other examples.
A pup called Tiny Scooby-Doo.
Toons. A pup named Scooby-Doo, Tiny Toons.
Yeah, so rebranding things specifically for children, it mm-hmm. happened a lot. Which, you know, then our age group grew up with that, which is, I think, mm-hmm. why a lot of these things are coming back now, because now we're adults and we have children, so it's like, oh, show, you know, we love passing things down to the next generation. I never watched Tom and Jerry and Kids. Actually, I didn't even
Not
know.
Tom and Jerry and Kids. It's Tom and Jerry Kids. It had a dope theme song.
I
the Tom and Jerry Kids. You don't. Now the saxophone sound. It was the same formula. Tom chasing Jerry, but they were just children, like younger. So the comedy was a lot more cartoonish and not as violent. Yeah. Where in the original one, you would see like pianos falling on Tom and like Tom's teeth becoming the piano keys.
Yeah,
you so know, you wouldn't get that kind of stuff on Tom and Jerry Kids.
I'll say right now, I never really enjoyed Tom and Jerry because I always personally felt bad for Tom. Not really having
a cat.
Yeah, I'm a cat person, but I also think that animal cruelty, even if it's one animal to another, I'm just not a fan of it.
How did you feel when you were watching The Lion King and they're talking about eating the antelope?
Oh my gosh, I cried. This was never something that called to me. I was surprised that this was still popular enough that it got a remake. And you know, this is a podcast where we compare the new remake, reboot, revival, etc. to the old property. And part of me just wants to talk about this new piece and why we think that it was made and what it gave us and what we got from it. Because I am going to go on record right now and say that this is probably one of the worst things we've ever watched.
I would agree.
Is at least Although in my top three.
I have bad recollection as to everything we've watched, but this one for sure will probably go as like a stinker.
Yeah.
Of a stinker. 2021, guys, has not been a good year.
It's not been good so far.
For us.
Yeah, all the properties released in 2021 have not been good.
That's right, because like Hardy Boys we kind of liked, and it was not even 2021.
Yeah, seriously. So I kind of just want to talk about this movie and how it kind of took this property that we're all familiar with and then made what it made with it. So are you with me?
Let's go. Let's talk Tom and Jerry 2021.
Side note really quick, there was another Tom and Jerry movie that came out in 1982.
Oh, right. That was the one where they talk for the first time.
They did talk, and it was
a musical. I didn't even sing.
Yes. Yeah. So, and the reception of that was, you know, not very good.
Yeah, I didn't like it. Yeah. I saw that when I was a kid, and I was just like, this is whack as fuck.
Yeah, Siskel and Ebert gave it a whopping 2 thumbs down. I never saw
First
it
of
as
all,
a kid.
The fact that Siskel and Ebert even took time of their day to review that movie says more about Siskel and Ebert than it does that movie.
Yeah,
I think that
I
was
mean,
like a
I
direct
guess.
To VHS.
Really? No,
movie.
I think it came out in theaters.
I don't think it had theatrical release.
No, it opened theatrically on July 30th, 1993,
oh,
alongside Robin Hood Men in Tights. So
what a time to be alive.
Yeah, it ranked number 14 at the box office. So did not
that year
well.
Or when it opened.
It was commercially unsuccessful. I think it when it opened. It
oh,
did not
yeah.
do
I,
well
see,
at all.
I thought it was direct to VHS. I didn't even know it was a movie.
Yeah, so.
Hanna-Barbera learned their lesson because Scooby-Doo on Zombie Island went straight to VHS and that shit was fire. That
yeah.
was such a good fucking movie.
The Hanna-Barbera properties declined heavily in the 90s, you know. And I don't think that's kind of, with a brief kind of resurrection of some properties in the early 2000s, I really don't think it's kind of recovered its reputation since.
You know, Seth MacFarlane has been in talks, or has supposedly, he has been in talks to, I think he has the rights to do a adaptation of the Flintstones. He's been wanting to do it for a while, he's
oh
also
gosh.
Said.
Is this like, is this, am I supposed to think that it's going to be any good, Seth
MacFarlane? I don't know. Seth MacFarlane is not bad.
I would disagree.
He's not great, but I like American Dad over Family Guy.
So back to Tom and Jerry, I will say that
we keep getting off track.
So the filmmaker of Tom and Jerry, this new one, is Tim Story. And let's talk about some of the other stuff that Tim Story has done. He's an accomplished filmmaker. He did Barbershop.
Is he? You
Barbershop?
I would not have known. Oh, come on. Barbershop.
Well, I mean, come on. Hey, at least he's making a living, right? He's earning a paycheck.
Barbershop, I will say, Barbershop is a good movie. I think it's a competent movie because of the cast, though. Directing wise, it's not like.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's not like he's an auteur or anything, but.
He's not taking credit for the success of that movie. That's all Cedric the Entertainer.
Well, so he's been a working filmmaker for at least 20 years now. Barbershop, okay. The Fantastic Four movies, Think Like a Man, and its sequel, Ride Along, Shaft, right? And okay. Somehow they got him to do Tom and Jerry. So Tom and Jerry is a little different from Scoob, right? Scoob was a full-on animation movie, whereas this is a hybrid film. Tom and Jerry are animated characters, and all subsequent animals in this film are animated, but everything else is a live-action film.
Yes. Oh, it's, yeah. So it's actors interacting with CGI that's looking animated. Because I think I'm pretty sure it was CGI.
Yeah. Yeah, it's CGI. Computer
it was,
animated
or
sure.
At least it was cel-shaded. Yeah. That's the style of animation it went with.
For sure. And yeah, plot-wise, it takes place in New York. There's, I guess, two subsequent plots going on. There's the Tom and Jerry story, and then there's the human story, even though they kind of collide.
They are they are absolutely intertwined. What are you talking about?
Tom and Jerry are barely in this movie. What are you talking about?
I think they're in this movie way too much.
You think they're... Why would you watch a movie called Tom and Jerry and then complain that they're in it too much?
This movie was 1 hour 49 minutes, I think, or 1 hour 48. And my God, this movie did not need to be more than 20 minutes long.
So like we said, we barely had anything to say about the original property of Tom and Jerry because what is it? It's really about a cat and a mouse performing slapstick. They don't speak. That gets old after 10 minutes. So of course the people who were going to make this movie and were tasked with resurrecting this IP so fucking Warner Brothers could make some extra money, they were like, all right, well, let's just make a plot line for human beings. And, you know, they thought it was a good idea and it didn't. It was, I mean, this whole movie was just not a good idea.
What was the plot line for the human beings so our audience knows?
So, okay, so it takes place at a hotel, the Royal Gate Hotel. And our protagonist is this young girl who just lost her job. Her name is Kayla by Chloe Grace Moretz. And she needs a job desperately. So she walks into the Park Gate Hotel and pretty much intimidates and threatens this other woman and then takes the resume of that woman who was qualified to get the job at the hotel, steals her identity, applies, and then gets this job.
All right? By happenstance, she didn't intentionally go out of her way to do this. It just happened.
Yeah, this is the introduction to the protagonist that we're supposed to care for and
like,
enjoy,
she just
by
happened.
The way.
Like
she pretty much, right. Yeah. So she just ended up being really, really shitty and got, you know, what she wanted and got something actually great out of it. So, you know, that's a great lesson for kids off the bat.
I think so.
I guess
that's how you make it. That's how you make it in the post-Trump world.
I suppose so. So pretty much there are these rich socialites who are getting married at the hotel. And, you know, we're supposed to give a shit about them. And she needs to make it perfect. And she's trying to rise the rank, even though there's this other guy who, from the moment he saw her, played by Michael Pena, just hated her and wanted her to fail.
No, time out. He saw through her.
I guess so, but these are all just like not very well thought out layered characters. So he's just an asshole the whole time, but she's also not that great herself.
I mean, you're really getting into the weeds of the story and I appreciate it.
Because it's just so terrible. So where do Tom and Jerry, though, come into play here? Well, you know.
So Tom has moved to New York City.
To make it
from
his
where?
Appearance.
Who knows? He wants to, he's like a huckster because he is actually pretending to be a blind. Oh, that's right. He wants to be a pianist, right? He has dreams of being a pianist. He wants to open for John Legend for some reason. And he also wants to, so as a way of making money, he is using a piano in Central Park, pretending to be blind and playing the piano, right? So people are giving him money. Jerry is looking for a place to live in New York City. And apparently real estate in New York City is still hard for a mouse even. So
yeah,
he ends up trying to make some money by dancing to the piano. And then he breaks Tom's piano. And now Tom is angry with him. And that's where their rivalry begins.
Yeah.
That is how their rivalry begins. Jerry moves into the hotel, right? That's where he finds his home. And Kaylee, her job is to capture this mouse because, God forbid, there's a mouse in a New York City hotel. It will ruin the wedding. Mind you, it's fucking New York City. You're lucky if you only have one mouse. You know what I mean? Like, it's a fucking, it's what, is that even a rat? This is a mouse we're talking about. Like, New Yorkers will happily have a mouse as a pet rather than a rat. So Chloe Grace Moretz, Kaylee, she hires Tom to capture Jerry. And that is the plot of the movie.
Yeah. So, I mean, the fact that the rules of the world too are not very like, you kind of can't grasp it. Like, wait a minute. Why are these cats that are bullying him in the alley speaking to him and Tom can't speak to defend himself? Why are these pigeons my narrators?
Why were the pigeons the narrator? I agree with you on that question, because they didn't narrate from the beginning. They just narrated it in the middle somewhere.
Not only did they narrate
They sing in the beginning.
But when they come on screen,
they're not narrating what's happening.
No, they just literally wrap up what you just saw in case you have short-term memory loss and you forgot what you saw 2 minutes ago.
Oh, I appreciate it because I fell asleep. So,
so I guess they realized that. They were like, this is where people are sleeping, so let's get these birds in here.
I mean, this is targeted for kids who have the attention spans of a nothing, you know? So I guess, but even then it's just like, come on. If your film is relying on this.
Oh my God.
Oof.
You know, the fact that this is also targeted for kids, like, it's just, never has it been clear that Hollywood simply made something. You know, we know that this is true to an extent on all properties, but never has it been more clear that they just made something purely for the money. I have never felt more insulted on behalf of all children that this is what you think that children should be watching and you want to offer them. I will never show this to any sort of a child. If I hear that someone wants to show this to your child, I'll be like, please do not. These people do not care about your kids. And there is nothing to be offered here for children, let alone adults. And it's just pure Hollywood greed. The fact that also like our sympathetic characters that we're supposed to care for are these socialites who we have absolutely no relationship for. And also our main character is just someone who like lied and cheated her way and intimidated her way into where she got to. And like the only thing that she realized halfway after was, oh yeah, maybe I should have kind of been a nicer person, but then like never really learned that lesson to begin with. It's just like pure Hollywood crap. And it's just so devoid of any real emotion. And it's like insulting that they also think that the shit that they put in this movie is funny. You know, like they do that whole like awkward delivery line humor that like a character just keeps speaking until they realize no one cares and they're saying nothing. And it's like that type of humor over and over and over and over again. And it's just like not funny in any case.
What?
Like take, for instance, one of the bellhops. The woman.
Oh, her. Okay, yeah. Okay, got it. She was supposed to be like the weird girl.
Yeah, and it's just like not funny. And it's also like, wow, seriously? You're going to take that woman and put her in that role? Gee, wow, what original fucking casting. It would have been really fun, actually, had those roles been reversed and Chloe Grace Moretz played the fucking weirdo bellhop and that other girl was our unsympathetic hero. But alas, Hollywood's not that far ahead of themselves. It's just all fucking bullshit.
To be honest, I'm more angry. Like, Michael Peña can do better than this.
Oh my God. It was so.
What such a waste.
He deserves better.
He's so talented.
He is.
I just want that guy to get something like for him.
I know. Me too. Even Chloe Grace Moretz is another one where I'm just like, this, good. You are above this. You are.
Yeah.
Why are you, was this just a paycheck? Because it felt like it was just a paycheck.
Oh, yeah. No, everything about this movie just felt like a paycheck. Like, and that's the only redeeming part. Well, people got paid. People were able to pay bills because of Tom and Jerry. That's great. Literally the only positive.
I disagree with you on that one. I actually do have one positive.
What the hell is that?
I actually like the animation. I think I like the way the animation worked with the live action. That I will stand by. I think the way they use cell shading to kind of, it wasn't, you could have gone the CGI route, like Sonic, right? Which is pure CGI and stuff. But they went like trying to make it look animated and kind of give you like that kind of classic animation feel. I like that. I thought it was effective. I wish this movie was better. But, like, that's a style that, like, if they ever redo Roger Rabbit, for example, I could see them going this route. God forbid they ever mess up Roger Rabbit, because that's one of my favorite movies.
Oh my God. But well, I was going to say, if you want to see what Rolando's talking about and you just want to see it well done, you might as well just rewatch Roger Rabbit.
Roger Rabbit is a gold standard.
It's so good. And it's like, okay, you know, I could agree with what you're saying, but it's not like it blew me away on any level.
I mean, for me, I thought the animation was actually very, very pretty, and I think I like the way the animation interacted with the real world. This movie was just such a travesty. It's just such an it was a train wreck, and this is when I was just watching, I'm just like, what? I also fell asleep, Eddie. Like, I fell asleep for like a good 10 minutes, and when I woke up, I was just like, oh, maybe I'm like almost at the end. It was just like, no, I'm halfway through. This was a torture. This was absolute torture to get through the end.
Yeah, yeah.
And I kept trying to think. It's just like, well, all right, I know I'm not the target audience. This is for kids, like, right? Like, they must enjoy this. But
even kids are smarter enough to know that.
No, yeah, no kid doesn't have a brain cell. You know? this was hot garbage. That's what this was. And here we go. All right, now, let's get into the storyline here, right? Because she's trying to...
Are you going
to
mention it?
The B story.
Are you talk about it?
I'm going to talk about it.
What is it?
Nicole, did you think that Priya and Chloe Grace, Prita and
Kayla.
Chloe and Kayla they were going to end up together?
No.
At any point when you were watching this?
No, I did not.
No? I swear to God, no. I thought, so this is where I actually was just like kind of my attention was inching towards. I'm like, okay, maybe they're going to take a risk here. This is going to be worth it. I swear to God. The socialite couple that was getting married, I thought the female was gonna run off with Kayla's character when they realized that they're falling for each other, and I was just like, okay, work, Tom and Jerry, you're doing something progressive. No, how could you not think that? How could you not think that?
Did not pick up on anything like that.
it's
so funny because I slept through 85%, 90% of the movie. But the last 10 minutes of the movie, when she does the declaration of love in the Central Park wedding, right? Which she shouldn't say love, but she says everything else that made you feel like...
She loves her.
She loves her.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, why is she doing it and not the fiancé doing it?
So my guess is that the original script was written to have a lesbian romance at the end. Like, she was those two characters were going to run off together. And then Warner Brothers was just like, well,
we can't do this. Rewrite.
So they rewrote it a little where Prita ends up with the husband. Because the truth is, and even Eddie notices from the few times he was awake, he's like, there's no love there. Like, this is like a loveless marriage.
Yeah. Well,
the love, real emotion. But the love was felt, though, between Prita and Kayla, right?
I think it's because, you know, she developed a friendship with her, and then that scene when they're, like, both wearing their dresses and they're having, like, a heart-to-heart. Okay.
More intimate than anything that we got with Colin Jost and the actress.
Portrayed, like, a kind of a relationship forming there. But I also just thought it was, like, you know, stupid Hollywood bullshit where it's like, yeah, you too can get a job at a hotel and be friends with these rich people, because rich socialites like this aren't assholes. They could be people just like us. You know,
I was thinking more so from the storyline. I genuinely was expecting these scenes, like, for them to kind of start developing feelings for each other. Like, I thought I was being set up for this... Well, the setup is there that maybe they're not right for each other, but maybe they're not right for each other because Prita is meant for Kayla.
That's amazing.
That's what I was just reading, and I was just like, and now you know what? Maybe Tom and Jerry realize this, and that's why they're going to fuck up this wedding so they can end up together. Now, tell me that would not have been a better movie.
It would have been a better movie, but it's just amazing because you were able to actually follow this along as an actual storyline, where I was just looking at it as like a freaking plot, like hitting all the beats script that Hollywood just like was doing it was so terrible. I didn't even think of it as a story. I wasn't following along the storyline at that point. I was just watching scene for scene and seeing how terribly done everything was.
Maybe it was the performances.
Had that element been there, it would have actually been great, and I would have
The movie still would have been hot garbage, but like I would have been like, you know what, Hollywood, you threw me a lesbian relationship that I wasn't expecting, and I'm here for it.
Yeah.
But yeah, even Eddie, and he's right, he was awake for like a good 10% of that movie only, and he saw it at the end. He's just like, wait, are they ending up together? Why is she giving this speech? And I was just like, yeah, I'm pretty sure. Like, I can tell he was like, I'm pretty sure that they were meant to be together at the end, but like Hollywood said no.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're giving them way more credit than they deserve.
No. How is that giving them credit? Like, it's literally
in terms of the script. Like, you were like, oh, this is the script that they wrote, and Hollywood got in the way. It's like, no, I don't think it was written that way.
No. You rewatch that love speech at the end. You tell me that's not. A speech that the girl gives, the lesbian gives the straight girl to run off together.
I can't promise you that I will rewatch it, but I'll take your word for it. I don't know. I think most of my rant about this movie is over. I did not enjoy this at all.
No,
I think about 15 minutes and I was ready to give up on this movie. And this is actually probably the only time that I am so thankful that going to movie theaters isn't a thing and that I didn't pay like full price for this ticket.
This is true.
Had
Very
I
true.
I would have been outraged. And we've paid full price tickets before for other movies.
I've never we've had to pay full price. I try not to. We were usually doing the Tuesday specials.
$5 specials.
But actually, let's talk a little bit about paying for that box office, because right now Tom and Jerry is currently on track to be the biggest hit of 2021.
Of course it works out that way. Of course. The irony of it all.
Because what else is there? Well, Mulan bombed. We know that. Wonder Woman
bombed. Yeah, people
weren't
going to the theater like that, were they?
The theaters were open, yeah.
I know that like more theaters in the country are getting open. You know, numbers of COVID in the country as of they're slightly declining, so people are getting more comfortable with it. So I think that Tom and Jerry had the good fortune of being one of the first movies that a large number of people were more comfortable with returning to theaters for. Because a lot of people HBO Max.
Is that the movie that Hollywood people should have gone back for?
No, absolutely not. I mean, I think most of them will probably feel the same way we did. If you are one of the only people who've seen this and actually enjoyed this film and can find more redeeming spots than we did, please let us know. And please tell me if we're being
too hard. I'm the only one who found anything redeeming in it.
Yeah, no, I don't think I found anything redeeming in it at all.
No, you've literally just poo-pooed over this movie.
Because it's terrible. And this movie does not need my sympathy. This movie does not need for me to look at it and be like, you need to find something good about it. Like, no.
I found it out of the goodness of my heart, the animation, and maybe wanting there to be a lesbian relationship at the end.
Yeah, I, as the lesbian here, I did not catch on.
I thought you were going to come here hot with anger of just like they were
queer baiting.
Like they were promising me a lesbian relationship and they took it away.
No, I wish. Maybe I also, like I said, this movie wasn't able to really get like my attention going. I didn't think that there was a story that was strong enough for me to follow, so I just felt like I was just kind of empty watching it. So I guess I missed that.
Was it like a out of body experience where you're watching your body like watch this movie and just like sad?
I can't believe I'm watching this. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, guys, I'm sorry. That's it. That's all we have to say on Tom and Jerry. It is just not a good movie.
It's not.
If you have it on HBO Max and you got kids and you want to just like shut them up for an hour and 40 minutes, hey, press play.
Yeah.
That is my review of this movie.
I would actually show them something that they've seen many times before instead of Tom and Jerry. Like, don't press play. This is really terrible. If this is what they think kids want, like, no, they have no idea what they're fucking talking about. Like, demographic wise, who the fuck was this movie for? Because this is apparently it's for kids and. Oh, this is such a terrible film for kids.
Well, actually, I want to talk to you about that a little. How do you feel about the violence being like kind of back front and center in this movie? Granted, it's slapstick violence and it's cartoon on cartoon violence, but like, I don't know. There was a fear at one point that like showing too much violence in kids' programming, right, could be detrimental to their health, especially giving. Now, granted, none of these characters use guns.
Yeah,
but we do have a problem with violence in general in this country.
Yeah,
that we as a nation refuse to talk about. Do you think this was a smart choice in Hollywood to kind of make a movie about these two characters who beat the shit out of each other? Or was it kind of stupid?
It seems like Hollywood was trying to give its, like, perform a balancing act. It wanted to give people what they want from Tom and Jerry, what we've gotten from Tom and Jerry for the past 80 years. You know, you don't want to defer too far from it because there are other purists out there. And there are people who simply just want to see that. And, you know, in terms of our political correctness, we're not quite there yet on a term of, like, mainstream acceptance when it comes to animal cruelty. But I think at the same time, for people who don't want excessive violence, they're like, human story, a story about, you know, like, love and friendship. And, you know, meet, you know, we might all have our differences, but at the end of the day, let's all come together in terms of a higher purpose. I think that's what they were trying to go for in terms of a story interlaced with your whole classic Tom and Jerry tropes. Mm-hmm. Whether or not they succeeded, they did not succeed, obviously. But I think that that's, you know, how they wanted to tackle that, where they're like, let's give some people the violence, but not let's not make it excessive. Let's make it more of this nostalgia thing that we deliver on. And then overall, let's give people a heartwarming story. That's what I think.
Okay.
How do you feel about that?
I was
that?
Just curious. I don't know. I wasn't uncomfortable with the violence, but I'm also an adult. And I know that, like, violence, I feel like violence begets violence. So maybe if you have a kid, like, you remember that episode of Itchy and Scratchy, right? Where Marge goes on a tirade against Itchy and Scratchy. Like, I think that those were real fears that people have. And I think that sometimes how Maggie reacted, like hitting Homer, that, I'm not saying that, I don't know. I feel like I don't see that being implausible, so.
Yeah. Well, you know, at the end of the day, too, if you're going to put something in front of your child, you should at least have a conversation with them about it. You shouldn't just, like, leave it all up to what they're digesting. Yeah. Like, it shouldn't all be up to Tom and Jerry, so.
Oh, no, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, like, you can't just simply put Tom and Jerry on and then, like, not talk to them about what they saw. That's, like,
it's
not fair.
Yeah. I not much to say other than it was not a pleasant watch.
Yeah, it was not.
But what about you guys? Did you guys watch Tom and Jerry this weekend? Maybe it is the number one watched movies in the box office, so who knows? If you did, do you agree with everything we said? I hope so, for your sake.
Yeah, seriously.
But if you did it, Nicole, where can people reach us out?
Oh, you can hit us up on Instagram. We're pretty active there at Remakes, Reboots, Revivals. Please send us an email. We do like hearing from you. RemakesRebootsRevivals@gmail.com. You can find us at Facebook. Search for Remakes, Reboots, Revivals. We are also on YouTube. Search by, guess what? Remakes, Reboots, Revivals. Twitter at Remakes Podcast. And we have a hotline, and you can call us at a number. That number is
862-248-2326. That's 862-248-2326. Yes, call, leave us a voicemail.
And we apologize. This episode, we were kind of all over the place. There was no structure to it, but we did it in honor of the 2021 Tom and Jerry film.
Because there was no structure in that film.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what I was going for.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. In case you didn't get my joke, in case they didn't know, right?
Yeah. In case the last 40 minutes didn't speak for itself. But until... Oh, God. You know, this is when the movie's so bad that I don't even want to say this next line. But alas and alack, until next time, stay an original.